Ground Cover News is a nonprofit street paper that was founded in April 2010 as a means to empower low-income persons to make the transitions from homeless to housed and from jobless to employed. Vendors purchase each copy of the Ground Cover News regular edition at our office for 50 cents. This money goes towards production costs. Vendors work selling the paper on the street for $2, keeping all income and tips from each sale. This audio production was made possible by the Ann Arbor District Library, recorded at Fifth Avenue Studios. If you consistently enjoy Ground Cover Speaks, continuing to buy physical newspapers from Ground Cover vendors ensures that we can sustain production. The physical paper and in-person interaction is at the heart of our work. You can find the link to our next audio recording in the upcoming print issue of Ground Cover News. Thanks for listening.
Special thanks to our print advertisers, the People's Food Co-op, St. Francis of Assisi Parish, First Baptist Church, Bethlehem United Church of Christ, the Office of Community and Economic Development, Cineholic, Art on a Journey, Ann Arbor for Public Power, Four Directions, and the Ypsilanti Food Co-op.
Board members discuss Ground Cover's impact, written by Mike Jones, Vendor 113. Since 2010, Ground Cover News has been providing those who are unhoused and facing financial difficulties in Washtenaw County area a sense of purpose. Ground Cover News is a street newspaper produced, purchased, and sold by the homeless and those facing poverty. This newspaper provides a source of income and a platform to interact and build relationships in the community. Street newspapers mainly focus on topics concerning homelessness, poverty, social justice, local issues, and events. Publications such as these provide communities with a unique perspective for readers to receive information on topics and issues of being unhoused and are facing financial hardship. Street newspapers are nonprofits. The community itself can be involved through volunteering their time and services. Students from various colleges and universities also do their internship at these publications. Like any other publication, street newspapers provide advertising opportunities for local businesses and organizations. These publications are part of a street newspaper syndicate called the International Network of Street Papers. 92 street papers in 35 countries, published in 25 languages, make up their network. 3.2 million readers worldwide. 904 volunteers worldwide supporting our network. Over 390,000 people in poverty support since the first street paper was published in 1989. 5,730 vendors sell street papers at any one time. 13.15 million street papers were sold across the world in 2021. 1,350 towns and cities had a street paper present in 2021. Myself and other board members would like to share our thoughts and experience with the organization. There's an old saying, life is what you make it. This is true when working for a street newspaper. In the beginning, I was a bit oblivious to the true meaning and purpose of a street newspaper, the possibilities this occupation would lead me to. It took me some time to find my voice as a street paper vendor. And after jumping in the water and getting my feet wet, I finally got my pitch down. Once you learn how to vibe and communicate with the public, one should have no problem making money and new friends. There are other financial opportunities within these publication structures through the means of writing, recording, Ground Cover Speaks podcasts, workshops, and through different public engagements. I find this very helpful in two ways. First, it helps make ends meet. Second, it allows vendors to explore their creative inner self. Mike Jones, Ground Cover News vendor and writer and board member. Ground Cover News is an integral part of our richly diverse community, offering valuable benefits to our residents. Firstly, Ground Cover provides its vendors, most of whom are economically marginalized, an opportunity to earn a legit income by selling the newspaper throughout Washtenaw County. Ground Cover provides a voice to viewpoints rarely encountered elsewhere, namely issues related to poverty, disenfranchisement, and homelessness. Jack Elderston, PhD, owner of Jones Woods Property, board member. I believe Ground Cover News is an important part of our community because it offers a meeting point between people. It gives us all a reason to stay curious about who we are capable of meeting from our community in a day and the value of sharing space, even briefly. Jesse Averell, Ground Cover News volunteer and board member. Ground Cover News is a very important part of the community for multiple reasons. First of all, it employs people who are experiencing pitfalls that life can throw at you, whether it's experiencing homelessness, going through substance abuse, having a record, or just getting out of jail and looking for work, working to make ends meet or supplement your income, or just wanting to be a part of something positive. Joe Woods, Ground Cover News vendor, board member, 2014 through 2022. Ground Cover News stays a strong advocate of the community by reaching out and encouraging everyone to participate in an overall process. As each contributor enhances the learning activity, a community becomes richer in through for it. Glenn Gates, Ground Cover News volunteer board member. Ground Cover News is an essential, growing, low barrier entrepreneurial opportunity designed for individuals coping with the effects of poverty, usually long term, who are interested in making money. One of the things I love most about Ground Cover is that it provides opportunity without strings attached. It also welcomes all who demonstrate interest and willingness to try to sell local print newspapers to individuals person to person. There is nothing else like Ground Cover News. It provides both opportunity and a public service in the form of valuable local print journalism. Another thing I love about Ground Cover is that you can see its impact on the individual who has been with the program long term. There are dedicated salespeople and writers who are interested in being engaged with the community and lifting up others, regardless of where they started. I am also proud to be a board member with Ground Cover News, and I look forward to celebrating 15 years of Ground Cover News serving the Washtenaw County area. Ann Gersh, PhD, Administration Director, A2 Jazz Fest, Intern Director, Creative Washtenaw, Ground Cover News Board Member, President.
Homeless community bands together offers job services, Brian Kaiser. When facing homelessness or just dealing with an unlucky life, the world can seem very difficult. Imagine not having only, imagine not only having mental health or physical health problems, but also financial. With the cost of everything on the rise, it is hard to keep up with food and daily essentials. How does someone on the street pay for things, you might ask? One way is we, including myself, barter. It may be hard to believe, but we have our own way of trading items with one another for common needs. This system allows those without money and jobs to be able to afford the things we need to survive. Does education really matter when hiring someone? Since I've been traveling to various places with heavy homeless population, I noticed that a lot of homeless people are very educated. The most common field I hear about is science. You would be surprised at how many people know about physics, biology, and medicine. The non-science of metaphysics is common too. The second most common field is construction. I also used to work in that field during general labor, from cutting oil pipes to demolition. The great thing about talking about homeless is that you can see and hear the intelligence, and each one of them expresses differently through their craft, words, and even artwork in a creative way. Have you ever wondered what if homeless people were once great people, or for some reason society decided it no longer needed them. Does my background record scare you even if I try to change? Should the labels prevent me from getting a job to take care of myself? Why do I get judged for my past mistakes? These are the questions and doubts that hinder homeless minds and progress. We who attend breakfast at St. Andrew's have come up with a solution for the employment problem. Every morning at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, guided by Sue, there is a free breakfast for the homeless community. It is an opportunity for others to find work. Inside the church, we as a group made a job board where employers or people who have short-term jobs can check out candidates and their skills. Each candidate has a picture, list of skills they have, how to reach them, and also a little bio. The goal is to bridge the gap between the homeless and work. Sometimes the help or change we need is right in front of us. If you would like to find workers or hire candidates, feel free to visit St. Andrew's Church any morning between 7:30 and 8:30.
Missing Little Clarence by LaShawn Courtright, ground cover vendor number 56. I miss you so much, little Clarence, my precious baby boy. I'm counting on finding you this year. It's been more than a quarter of a century since you've been gone. I need to find you so you can finally meet and see me again. I hope that they did not do to you what they did to your other biological sisters and brothers. I miss you more and more every day. I just can't wait to see you again, my dear precious baby boy, little Clarence.
Rent-free living vouchers would tip the scales, Scoop Stevens. In general, rent is parasitical. It produces nothing and could be the starting point to approach the rent-free living voucher as a solution for homelessness in America. The feudal landlord pilfered the produce of his subjects. He left them just enough to survive but not thrive. Interesting that we use the word landlord in our commercial relations. After World War II, hubris replaced humility. Instead of accessible housing, we got rent. Government in the United States of America was instituted to protect the rights of individuals, not to build houses. All the non-government resources that went into putting a man on the moon could have been used towards putting people into affordable housing. All the technological advancements that were byproducts of the Moon Project supposedly make our life better. Nature's bounty has already provided all that we need if we are in balance with her. The rent-free living voucher would provide housing for the homeless. It would be funded by wealthy individuals who seek to justify their tax-exempt status by providing a public good. The rent-free living voucher will tip the scale back to equity in housing and balance in life.
Border to Border Trail Link Construction by Catalina Echevarria, U of M student contributor. Ann Arbor is almost always under construction, with residents often not knowing why. One of the many construction projects currently happening is the Border to Border, B2B, Trail Link. The city of Ann Arbor announced that work on the Barton-Vandermeer pedestrian tunnel began the week of March 24, 2025. The goal is to construct a pedestrian tunnel beneath the Michigan Department of Transportation MDOT railroad that is currently operated by Amtrak. Upon its completion, Vandermeer Park and Barton Nature Area will be connected, providing a safe connection for bicyclists and pedestrians. As of right now, it is illegal to cross the railroad tracks, except where signage clearly indicates otherwise. This project is a partnership between the City of Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County Parks and Recreation Commission, and the nonprofit Huron-Waterloo Pathways Initiative. Essentially, the project will connect the B2B trail to the new segment of the trail previously completed in the summer of 2024, making it over 20 miles long, perfect for avid bikers. This current anticipated completion date is 2025, but as of right now, it is a tentative date. This project brings about restrictions that are relevant to Ann Arbor residents. As expected, there will be no access permitted within the construction site. Outside of this area, the gravel parking lot off of Huron River Drive and the pedestrian bridge connecting Huron River Drive to Barton Nature Area will both be closed until the construction is completed. On June 3rd and 4th, the vehicle bridge into Bannimer Park from Barton Drive will be closed to through traffic. On this note, there will be a 48-hour railroad track outage on these days, so consider alternative long-distance transportation options on those days if it's relevant to you. This project isn't limited to the Barton-Bandimer pedestrian tunnel, as it will also include pathways connecting to the tunnel, renovations to the parking lot off of Huron River Drive, and a new public art installation on the interior of the tunnel. This new art will add to the already lively art scene of Ann Arbor. The cost is divided up evenly among the three institutions named above, with the city portion coming from the Park Maintenance and Capital Improvement Millage, which funds updates and maintenance at city parks, capital projects, park forestry, and the natural area preservation. Ann Arbor residents voted to renew this millage for another 20 years in 2024. A portion of Washtenaw's funding is for the 4-year-long road and trails millage, which was also renewed by voters in 2024. As for the Huron-Waterloo Pathways Initiative's portion, it is in part funded by a grant from the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation, with the rest coming from donations from private donors. Updates on the project's progress will be provided by the city on the City of Ann Arbor Facebook, Nextdoor, specifically for the Ann Arbor residents, as well as on the project website Engage, a2gov.org/Barton-Bandimer-Pedestrian-Tunnel. The website provides information on the project timeline, the feasibility study, which was from 2019 to 2021, design from 2022 to 2024, phase one of construction, which was in summer of 2024, and phase two, which is the current stage, which began on March 24th, 2025, as well as the track outage anticipated with an anticipated date of June 3rd through 4th, 2025, and the ultimate project completion in fall of 2025. The Barton-Bandimer Pedestrian Tunnel project represents a significant step forward in enhancing Ann Arbor's outdoor recreation infrastructure. By safely linking Bandimer Park and Barton Nature Area, the project will promote sustainable transportation options, as well as increasing the community's access to nature and public art installations. As construction progresses, Ann Arbor residents are encouraged to stay informed and plan accordingly. Upon its completion, the project will be a valuable addition to both Ann Arbor and the surrounding communities that are part of the Border to Border Trail.
Hey, Ground Cover, can we go thrift shopping? An article by Jim Clark, Ground Cover Vendor number 139. Homelessness takes everything from you. In February 2019, between a divorce and a car crash, I lost nearly all of my belongings, including my clothing. After finding refuge at the homeless shelter, I found myself with a pair of pants, a sweater, a few t-shirts, 3 pairs of socks and underwear, hiking boots, and my leather jacket. These were the only clothes I had in the middle of a Michigan winter. In Michigan, proper clothing is essential to one's health, as comfortable, non-lethal weather only lasts for a few months in the early spring and late summer. Some people in Washtenaw County cannot afford good quality clothing. There are a few free stores for clothing if you know where to look, such as Bridge Cafe and Regal Beagle in Ypsilanti. Otherwise, the best way to restock your wardrobe is to visit one of over a dozen thrift and resale shops in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti. Here's a breakdown of some of the major thrift stores. Ann Arbor PTO. Located on Bus Route 6, the Ann Arbor PTO thrift shop fits the thrift shop template. Clothing starts at $3.25 with excellent color tag of the day discounts that can result in clothes as low as 50 cents. There is an equal mix of clothing and non-clothing items, including an excellent selection of Pez dispensers and scuba suits. Caitlin Wackrow, assistant manager, says Ann Arbor PTO has a great customer worker vibe. She says of a particular customer, he commutes from Toledo to work in Ann Arbor, but stops in every day, buys a little something, and chit-chats with us. We love seeing him and all of our regulars who come in. They are a real bright spot in our day. Ann Arbor PTO does not have a voucher program. However, all proceeds from sales go to aid the students of Ann Arbor Public Schools. The Ann Arbor Thrift Shop. Located on Bus Route 4, the Ann Arbor Thrift Shop is a community aid powerhouse. For 93 years, they have given their proceeds to an incredible number of nonprofit agencies, and they have a competitive grant program which paid out $475,000 last year. Ann Arbor Thrift Shop is run by its 326 volunteers. One of those volunteers told me, "Our volunteers are all very dedicated to the community and the mission of our shop. All proceeds go to organizations that provide emergency services such as housing, food, and medical care." The list of organizations is stunning. It includes A Brighter Way, Avalon Housing, Catholic Social Services of Washtenaw, Community Action Network, Community Health Center, Dawn Farm, Food Gatherers, Friends Indeed, Home of New Vision, Alpha House, Jewish Family Services, Ozone House, Packard Health, Peace Neighborhood Center, Safe House Center, the Shelter Association of Washtenaw County, SOS Community Services, and the St. Andrews Breakfast Program. They do take Washtenaw County vouchers and have their own shopping cart program for the under and unemployed. Goodwill. Goodwill is located on Bus Routes 5B and 66. The first thing I noticed about the store was it surpassed all the others in organization. It reminded me of a regular retail clothing store, a la TJ Maxx or JCPenney. In fact, there were brand new socks and Crocs. And if neon colors light you up, Goodwill is a beacon of 80s throwback fashion. The most impressive thing about Goodwill as a nonprofit is that they are not about affordable used clothing. Secondhand retail is a vehicle for their true purpose. Around 1890, a Methodist minister, Edgar Helms, wanted to help the jobless population, so he opened Morgan Memorial Cooperative Industries and Stores Incorporated, which accepted donations of unwanted goods and then employed people to repair and prepare the items for sale. The profits of the sales became wages for the employees. As they grew, they began focusing on people with disabilities, enabling people who had barriers to employment find meaningful work. Today, Goodwill offers many services that help a wide range of people who have different employment skills. For example, the microenterprise program, Artworks, provides studio space for artists and teaches them entrepreneurial skills. Other programs include Youth Start, which gives at-risk youth skills and support to carry into adulthood, vocational and employment training, literacy, industrial contracts, which partner with organizations that will employ people with training under Goodwill, and other semi-skilled opportunities. A hand up, not a hand out, is a phrase used to describe the mission of Goodwill. House by the Side of the Road. Located on Bus Route 6 and established in 1970, House by the Side of the Road started as a partnership between Washtenaw County and local churches. They are a 501c3 nonprofit that is all volunteer staffed. Although there are no qualification barriers to access, the outfit primarily serves the county's homeless and housing insecure citizens. I asked volunteer Mary Lee Woodworth about how it works. She said, "We don't charge for anything. We are open to the public, but sometimes are referred by social service agencies. People present their ID and can sign up to visit the store once every 3 months and fill a shopping cart." I personally used their service in 2019, where I found a painting of St. Nicholas delivering a bag of toys and a cat for some lucky family. It just so happens that Santa Claus is one of my heroes. The Kiwanis Thrift Sale. Proceeds raised by Kiwanis Thrift Sale fund other nonprofits, especially child-oriented organizations. According to their mission statement, Kiwanis International's mission is to improve the world by empowering communities and making lasting differences in the lives of children. In addition to the goods for sale to the general public, social workers who attend a training program are able to bring homeless and income-insecure clients in for free items. Easily the biggest thrift shop in town, the place is like a labyrinth in a Harry Potter movie. The multi-room building sprawls over 123,000 square feet, so make sure your kids, friends, and spouses are securely tethered to you at all times. The most impressive thing about Kiwanis is its selection. It's like the Meijer of secondhand goods. Kiwanis' challenge is its accessibility. The only way to get there, if you have no vehicle, is an independent bus service with its own schedule. Visit the Western Washtenaw Area Value Express website for more information. Also, they are only open 2 days a week. Plato's Closet. Located on bus routes 25 and 67, Plato's Closet is unique among area thrift shops. Although they are a for-profit franchise chain, Plato's Closet buys clothing. They have an automated system that determines the cash value for items based on brand, condition, and other factors. This is very useful to people who are income insecure and makes up for not having a voucher system. Pricing is fair. Items are priced up to 70% off retail value. The quality of their items is like new, and they have excellent clearance sales. Another thing that makes Plato's Closet stand out is they cater primarily to teens, ranging from middle school to college age. Unlike other thrift shops, Plato's Closet likes to keep up with trends young people find appealing. Gabby Cushman, general manager, pointed out, "The workforce is all teens to mid-20s, which helps Plato's Closet Ann Arbor stay in touch with our young clientele by creating a hip and welcoming vibe." Salvation Army. Above all, love. 1 Peter 4:8 is the foundation of the service of the Salvation Army. Located on bus route 62, the Salvation Army rivals Value World in terms of clothing to non-clothing ratio of items and Kiwanis International in terms of its popularity. Since 1865, the Salvation Army has contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars to help with eviction prevention, addiction issues, income insecurity, disaster relief, and homelessness. The expansive space is an Ann Arbor icon. The warehouse-like store is filled with aisles of clothing. There is a substantial non-clothing section, including lots of linens, appliances, housewares, and more. The store offers a voucher program that can be obtained through a social worker or by submitting documents such as proof of income to the Salvation Army office. They also have a Tag Color of the Week discount system that aids people who are income insecure. Salvation Army also happens to be the sleeping bag capital of Ann Arbor. The Share House. Located on Bus Route 30, the Share House is a nonprofit that serves the income insecure population by offering massively discounted sales and a free shopping program around Christmas time. The store has the feel of a small town antique store. Built from what may have been a livestock facility, there are ramps up and down to various sections throughout, which make shopping adventurous. The clothing is limited proportionately to the rest of the things, while Americana knickknacks dominate the wares. The coolest thing about the place is the shop cats, Jasper and Gypsy. Good luck telling them apart. Also, they have the largest collection of knee boards I've ever seen. The Thrift Depot. Located on Route 42 in the dreamy Depot Town area of Ypsilanti, this is a great spot for secondhand aficionados, as it borders an antique shop and a vintage clothing store. Once upon a time, they had vouchers. Due to their limited size, though, they had to stop. However, they have a mini food pantry, hygiene products, diapers, and a donation matching system. They describe themselves as a small town store doing the right things. We do what we can to support our disadvantaged neighbors. I tend to agree. Value World. Located on Bus Route 43, Value World is a family-owned store with 13 locations and has been in business for 68 years. Although they do not have a voucher system, their daily tag color discount system, 99-cent section, and loyalty points program keeps prices accessible for the income insecure. Value World prides itself on two things: doing business with nonprofits and saving material from landfills. Value World boasts that it buys all of its inventory from nonprofits and municipal programs. Ethical fashion is how they frame their sustainability consciousness, citing the fashion industry as the biggest contributor to landfills and pollution. The most remarkable thing I noticed about Value World is that proportionately, they are rivaled only by the Salvation Army in the amount of clothing available. With the square footage of a Dollar Tree, the non-clothing items are pushed to the perimeter to make way for the massive clothing selection. I estimate the clothing to non-clothing ratio of most places to be 60-40, whereas Value World is closer to 90-10. But don't get me wrong, they still have cool non-clothing things like iron skillets and adult coloring books. The Ypsilanti Thrift Shop. Located two blocks from the Ypsilanti Transit Center, the Ypsilanti Thrift Shop is part of a vibrant downtown community and street culture. Run entirely by volunteers, the Ypsilanti Thrift Store has been in operation since 1942 and has donated more than $340,000 to local social service agencies. They have a voucher program and even refer you to the Hope Clinic, where you can find a caseworker. Two important things to note. One, they are currently short on baby and toddler-sized clothes and linens, such as towels and blankets, and volunteers. And two, Wednesday summer sales are in effect. This means you can find men's and women's summer apparel for 50% off on Wednesdays. There are a few other sources of free or low-cost clothing to mention. Emmanuel Lutheran Church on River Street in Ypsilanti has a free clothing distribution on Wednesdays where you can get a shopping bag full of clothes once a month. Dress for Success, located on Macaulay Ave in Ypsilanti. Their mission is to empower women to achieve economic independence by providing a network of support, professional attire, and the development tools to help women thrive in work and in life. The Hospitality House in Ypsilanti on North Washington Street has a free store for browsing. They are open Thursdays from 4 to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m. There is also New to You on Carpenter Road in Ypsilanti. In Ann Arbor, there is the St. Vincent de Paul on Broadway, the Second Baptist Church on Red Oak, and the Habitat Restore on April Street. Finally, once a month at Growing Hope, 16 South Washington, there is a huge community-organized free clothing swap. Come with clothes to trade or simply pick up some free clothes. If you want to know when the next swap is happening, email me at balder4077@gmail.com. That is balder4077@gmail.com.
Truth or Lies, Mystery Lane. The Ocean Find. He posed, wearing his four medals while holding a sparkling seashell trophy mounted to a golden set of fins and decorated with smaller seashells. I, Lalo, brother of two, warrior and captain of Hawaii's most furious, Launas, a deep-diving prize winner of the Launas. I was awarded champion of the 200-meter dive. If anyone can challenge me, step forth. Win my title. Challenge me. He will recite this every weekend on the beach to anyone who would listen. Haleo and his family moved from Hawaii to Laguna Terrace off the coast of California when he was 16 years old. Picture this. To Haleo, the 21-year-old, the ocean is a great exploration trip. He lived underwater, practicing every day, exploring, searching the ocean floor. He dreamed of finding a big shipwreck one day. He felt that dream would not come true this season because the waters were getting choppier and colder by the day. The only thing he ever found were a few coins and an old gold ring. He always wondered if those coins came from his ship. Maybe they were from the 1800s after all. On the evening of November 29, 1986, he dove further than he ever did before. Exhausting himself, he returned to the beach, where his brothers were waiting for him, only to find his brothers were quite impatient to go home. Tevrin and Barrett start teasing him, saying, "You'll never find that ship. You're too blind. You can't see it." Laleo only wanted to be left alone to enjoy his last day of the season on the beach. He walked away from his brothers in the direction of the Twin Caves. He was so tired that when he sat down, he fell into a deep sleep. When he awoke, the moon was shining off the water. Looking at the water, he saw a light and a woman diving beneath the water. Laleo wiped his eyes in disbelief. However, when he opened his eyes, he saw the same thing. He asked himself, how could that be? She was beyond the swimming zone. Suddenly, the woman started calling for help. Laleo grabbed his light and dove into the water. He swam over to where he last saw her. Laleo then noticed a small boat. "Where is she? I hope she didn't drown," he thought. Suddenly, a glimmer of light caught his eye. Laleo immediately dove beneath the water and quickly followed the light. Almost at the 200-meter mark, there she was, floating, her gown hooked to a piece of wood. Laleo saw that the woman could not free herself from a sunken ship. He untied the woman, grabbed her, and went shooting for the surface. Once he reached the top, Laleo placed her in the small boat, swimming and tugging the boat as fast as he could. He raced for the beach. It was daylight now, and several people were on the beach. He hollered for help while approaching the shore. They grabbed the woman from the small boat, laying her on the beach. Upon giving her CPR, trying to resuscitate her, Laleo heard a lady scream, "That's Natalie Wood," referring to the famous actress. Everyone was amazed and whispered, "That's Natalie Wood." Thank you, Ground Cover News readers, for your patience and understanding. Yes, it's true. I'm writing part two to my murder love story mystery, Billy Don't Kill Us. That's why my stories have been absent. However, The Never Forgotten Love, published March 7, 2025, was false.
Undercover Intel, Music as Art, The Sounds of Heavy Metal, Cindy Gear, Ground Cover Vendor Number 279. Ann Arbor Townie, Ponyboy Curtis, Michael Damon, grew up with dreams of becoming a heavy metal rock star. One true is he can sing with such soul. Watch him on video. Blew me away because he sings from the heart and from his memory. I used to sing in the choir in my dad's church, and singing from memory is hard without cheap music. It is next to impossible without the right training. People always say music is simple, but I always say no, it's not. The tempo must be right, and so must the pitch. Without a real understanding of music, you may fail. Curtis is truly one of the most upbeat individuals I've met in a long time. He takes the time to put you first. He told me that as a child growing up, he would love to climb all over his family's home, going into cupboards to play hide and seek. He told me he did parkour before parkour became a thing. I was ADHD kid. My body went before my mind. I would jump off the refrigerator for fun. Nothing would stop me from getting into stuff and being all over the place. My mom bucked the doctors and teachers about my antics. She told them, no one is going to put me on any kind of drugs to control me. Curtis's mom put her foot down, refusing to put any of her kids on any drugs, because Curtis is who he is. Curtis told me, my mom told me, you're an amazing singer. You're going to be a rock star. Just keep singing. So that's what Curtis did. She helped him with the piano by sending him off to his grandmother's to take music lessons, which led to more voice lessons. She taught him classical music and how to read sheet music as well. When I was very young, at the age of 8, me and my church did a Christian concert where I sang in the Schoolcraft College Auditorium, said Curtis. I was so impressed with this huge size. This helped me see possibilities. I was the only kid tenor. Singing there gave me more determination to sing to the public and to follow my dreams. Curtis's family supported his music ambitions by helping him create fun bands. As a kid, his first band was called Curdy and the Jammers. Classmates who had skills in drumming and guitar would join in. When other kids played hide and seek or tag, he was in the back basement with his buddies forming a band. We had two guitar players and a drummer, and my kid sister was the go-go dancer. All the neighborhood kids loved watching us and drank pop and eating popcorn. We became a local hit group. It was such a good time back then. Fond memories. As he got older, different music shaped his style. Growing up, I listened to popular singers like Elvis Presley and Chicago. But as I heard more, I fell in love with Jimi Hendrix, Black Sabbath, Ted Nugent, ZZ Top, Ziggy and the Stooges. The list goes on and on. In his early teen years, small gigs would come up for cash, like Friday and Saturday nights at the local church. They also did small competitions with other kids, and the best band would win the night, getting a small portion of the money for the evening. By then, I was around 14 and 15. We had little groupies who loved to follow us from school to school. And I was, at this time, we started to sing for different events like parties, backyard gigs, dances around Washtenaw County. I got hardcore into the band to make it more professional. The band was called The Heat, but the band changed the name to Crossfire. The Heat made an album starting with 6 songs. It was a 4-track and then became an 8-track. We were on top of the world, growing and now traveling around the state to bigger and bigger events and competitions. At full strength, it was a year of being the best, and I felt at 16, 17 that I had arrived. We played just about every weekend. Curtis would DJ between gigs and singing events. He built up a strong reputation in his smooth performance. as a talented DJ. He had traveled around the nation singing and DJing, getting many jobs in well-known establishments. Curtis told me he would get gigs and they would pay well for some time in different places like New Orleans and Las Vegas. Curtis returned to music, his own music, when he joined two bands, Static Overdrive and Cro-Molly, between 2008 and 2010. For so many artists, the COVID-19 pandemic was a life-changing event that had tragic consequences for people's lives. Performers and bands like Curtis relied on performance events like plays and concerts that abruptly just stopped. So many artists lost opportunities and jobs. And now I want to get back on the stage and sing and put my name in the lights, Curtis said. Music is in my blood, and I want to do one big song. Put me on the billboards. A real dream. Many people now have disabilities, often ones that don't show. These silent disabilities can profoundly affect people in negative ways. Curtis has ADHD, but for him, this issue becomes a powerful positive thing, giving him more energy when performing and pushing him when other people would stop and slow down. Curtis pushed through and kept the energy going all the way through to the end of the performance. A true inspiration to the world to never give up, never give in. He goes beyond expectation and chooses to not live his in disability, but let it all go. We can all take a page from Curtis. Rising above is the only way to go.